Hi everyone, welcome back to the Logical Bible Study podcast, where we look at the gospel reading from today's Mass, and we want to get at the literal sense of the text. What was the author trying to convey to his original audience? Today at Mass you'll hear from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. So here's the reading. Jesus went into a synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they were watching him to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath day, hoping for something to use against him. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up out in the middle." Then he said to them, "Is it against the law on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they said nothing. Then, grieved to find them so obstinate, he looked angrily round at them, and he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was better. The Pharisees went out and at once began to plot with the Herodians against him, discussing how to destroy him. So the context here is really important. You'll remember in yesterday's episode, in yesterday's gospel reading, Jesus was walking through the cornfields on the Sabbath and his disciples picked grain on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees said, "You can't do that, it's a Sabbath day." And remember Jesus' response. He said, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So that was the profound response by Jesus in yesterday's gospel. Today's gospel takes place, it appears, on the same day. Later on that same day. It's still the Sabbath. Verse 1, Jesus went into a synagogue, and that's where most Jews would be on the Sabbath day. They would all go there for teaching and for prayer. And in there, there's a man who had a withered hand. So probably it means the man's hand is atrophied, it's infected with something, and possibly even paralyzed. His hand does not work the way it should. And at face value, that doesn't sound as bad as other conditions like blindness and deafness. But think about it. In this culture, the way that most men earned a living was through manual labor. So it's quite a severe condition in that culture. Presumably the man, it doesn't say this, but probably the man comes to Jesus for healing. Either that or Jesus notices the man and the Pharisees predict that Jesus is going to heal the man. Either way, the Pharisees see this healing is about to happen. Verse 2, they watched him. So that's the Pharisees watched him to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath day. So again, the Pharisees are concerned about what's Jesus going to do on the Sabbath day. Because, as we said yesterday, on the Sabbath day, Jews were not allowed to do work. But what counted as work was determined by the Pharisees. The Pharisees had this complex system of what counted as work and what doesn't. And according to their system, healing or medical treatment is considered to be work according to their classification. So you're not allowed, if you're a Jew, you can't seek medical treatment on the Sabbath. And the text says that they're hoping for something to use against him. So this is the first clear indication in Mark that the Pharisees are out to get Jesus. Up until now, they've just been watching Jesus and learning, and now they're actually trying to catch him out. So by this time, they probably recognize that Jesus is a threat to their established system. They feel like their authority is being undermined by his. Even if he is appointed by God, they want him out of the way. Now, most likely we don't know this, but probably some of the Pharisees actually started to think about things and might have become Jesus' followers. So when it says the Pharisees were against him, probably means collectively most of them were, but we shouldn't assume that they're all bad. Probably some of them who were genuinely open may have changed their mind in response to some of Jesus' teachings. Verse 3, Jesus says to the man with the withered hand, "Stand out in the middle." That's a bit of a strange translation that ours has. Other translations just say, "Come here." Or another translation says, "Rise up." So it carries this idea of he commands the man to come out to a place where everyone can see him. He wants this to be a public healing. And then he asks he hasn't healed him yet, but he asks the Pharisees a question. Is it against the law on the Sabbath day to do good or to do evil? Now, the Pharisee system doesn't actually answer this question. Remember, the Pharisee system just says what counts as work and what doesn't. Jesus then asks a similar question, to save life or to kill? And again, the Pharisee system doesn't address whether you can save life or kill on the Sabbath day. So by bringing this up, Jesus is highlighting that God's intention is to save life rather than kill, and that that's actually a more important principle, a deeper principle than what counts as work and what doesn't. So again, Jesus doesn't enter into a debate about what exactly counts as work and what doesn't. He brings them back to deeper principles. And that's often how he goes about handling these situations. He wants people to remember deeper principles that have been neglected. And in fact, that's Jesus' whole interpretation of the law. He doesn't necessarily abolish the law, but he wants to remind people of the deeper intention of the law. And he says that if we neglect the deeper intention, that probably means that we've missed the whole point. And that's his whole message that he's constantly giving to the Jews. But the Pharisees were silent, and that's a common response by the Pharisees. Now, it probably doesn't mean that they can't think of an answer. They're not sitting there going, don't know. They probably could think of a few answers here. They're very smart people. It's just that they know if they answer, they're committing themselves to that answer, and they don't want to make themselves look foolish, so they choose to stay silent. Verse 5, then Jesus grieved to find them so obstinate. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Or another translation says, Jesus was grieved at their hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is basically stubbornness. So Jesus is grieved at the stubbornness of the Pharisees for refusing to answer the question. The fact that they stayed silent and didn't say anything, Jesus is frustrated that they're so stubborn. And think about it from Jesus' perspective. What Jesus wants more than anything is for his Jewish people to come to God with their whole selves, to come into the kingdom of God. And he wants to have leaders. He wants them to have leaders that will help them get closer to God. And so he's frustrated that these Jewish leaders are not being good leaders. They're not helping people come to God. He looked around at them with anger. This is one of these few instances where Jesus gets angry. Now, it's obviously not an uncontrollable rage here. He just looks around and he's angry. And lots has been written about this, and most people would say this is kind of like a righteous anger. Not all anger is sinful, and Jesus here, obviously Jesus doesn't sin. So he has here an anger that's justified. But he doesn't yell at them. He then turns to the man with the withered hand and says, "Stretch out your hand." So apparently the man can stretch out his hand, or maybe by Jesus' command, now the man can stretch out his hand. And immediately it's healed. So probably everyone would have seen the healing happen before their very eyes. But verse 6, the Pharisees went out at once. So even though the Pharisees have just witnessed this amazing visible miracle healing, they're more concerned with upholding their reputation and destroying Jesus. And they begin to plot with the Herodians. So who are the Herodians? They're a group of high-ranking Jews who are loyal to Herod Antipas, who's actually the king of this part of Israel. Down in Jerusalem, they haven't got a king of Israel anymore, but up in Galilee, where Jesus is at the moment, there is a king of that part of the world, and he's a Jew. So if you're a Herodian, you're loyal to King Herod, and you want to preserve this national Jewish establishment. You want to keep the Jewish state going as it is. And so what do the Herodians want, really? They want to keep the peace. They want Israel to stay as Israel. They know that if things get out of hand, the Romans will come in and wipe them out. So they want to keep the peace. They don't want anyone to come in that's going to disrupt the peace. And obviously, they would see Jesus as someone who will disrupt the current peace in that part of Israel. Normally, the Pharisees and the Herodians don't get along. They have quite different views about religion. But the Pharisees know that they'll have allies, in this case with the Herodians, because both of them would want Jesus out of the way, but for different reasons. So they plot how to destroy him. When it says destroy, some translations say that means kill. They're already planning how they can kill Jesus, which is possible, But it could also just mean ruin, as in ruin his reputation, to get him out of the way, out of the public limelight. It's interesting, isn't it? The Pharisees choose to do evil rather than good on the Sabbath. So they wouldn't answer the question about that before, but now they're actually choosing a certain evil action on the Sabbath. Now, that's the end of our analysis, but I want to read you a quote here from the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture for the Book of Mark, and that's the main resource I use in helping me think about an exegesis for this passage. And this particular quote, I think, is a really, really nice summary of why did Jesus do this particular healing. So here's the quote. "This incident raises the question, why did Jesus deliberately heal on the Sabbath, knowing that it would provoke such furious antagonism? Note that in all four Gospels, every one of the healings initiated by Jesus takes place on the Sabbath. On other days, the sick themselves or their relatives or friends approach Jesus to seek healing, but only on the Sabbath does Jesus take the initiative. Why does Jesus apparently prefer to heal on the Sabbath? The declaration given chapter 2, verse 28, and illustrated in chapter 3 in the synagogue, provides the answer. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, and he exercises his lordship by undoing the effects of sin and inaugurating the new creation by which humanity is restored to the fullness of life that God intended from the beginning. Jesus thereby fulfills the original purpose of the Sabbath, to bring humanity into communion with God." So that's a really, really good quote, I think. Jesus is all about bringing people back into communion with God, and he has a lot to say about what that means in terms of the Sabbath. Now, there's a few places where this appears in the Catechism. There's in paragraph 574, there's a discussion about how the Pharisees plot to kill Jesus, and that references this passage. And then, in fact, in paragraph 1859, which is in the section about the difference between mortal and venial sin, there's a discussion about hardness of heart and what that means in terms of mortal or venial sin, and it references this passage as well. So that's well worth reading. Probably the two most important paragraphs that I'll read out here are paragraph 2173, which is about the Sabbath day. It says, "The Gospels report many incidents when Jesus was accused of violating the Sabbath law, but Jesus never fails to respect the holiness of this day. He gives this law its authentic and authoritative interpretation. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. With compassion, Christ declares the Sabbath for doing good rather than harm, for saving life rather than killing. The Sabbath is the day of the Lord of mercies and a day to honour God. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." And then in paragraph 591, which is about Jesus' faith in God and Israel's faith in God, it says, "Such a demand for conversion in the face of so surprising a fulfillment of the promises allows one to understand the Sanhedrin's tragic misunderstanding of Jesus. They judged that he deserved the death sentence as a blasphemer. The members of the Sanhedrin were thus acting at the same time out of ignorance and the hardness of their unbelief." So you'll hear their echoes from the Mark 3 passage about the Pharisees having a hardness of heart. Okay, that's the end of our exegesis for today. Hopefully you're enjoying this way of starting the liturgical year. We're up to chapter 3 of Mark now, moving through really quickly. And if you think that other people would benefit from going through the liturgical season by listening to this podcast, then please make sure you tell other people about it and leave a review and a rating on iTunes as well. Thanks again for listening.